This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 189. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. What we got coming up? You want to know? Felica, Dr. Bob, and Fezzik. How about that?
Bam. Bam. That for your Friday.
Bam, bam. That's right. Fezzik's got a lot on his mind.
He does. And I'm back after being left out for a few weeks. I'm back on the essay text exchange. So I got the full Fezzik essay this morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Read the entire thing.
We get tweets via the book, Steve the Proxy. As a native New Yorker, I remember everything about 9/11, where I was, how I found out. Similar to Paul Carr, TV all day, horrific day. Oddly, I have clients' appointments today at 9 and 11 today. I have clients flying in today. I'd never feel comfortable flying on 9/11, he says. I was in San Francisco. I used to run to the Golden Gate Bridge every day. The chaos was such that my sister-in-law at the time called, frantically begging me not to run to the Golden Gate Bridge because we just had no idea what was happening.
Yeah.
We didn't know if, like, every... you know, American,
mm-hmm.
not monument, but no, like, we were, you know, iconic place would be a target.
Yeah, we're talking about it with Paul during the break. It's just in those hours, it's like everything was on high alert. You didn't know. I was in Spanish class in 9th grade, 10th grade, whatever it was. All I know as a teacher, you know, we were talking with Paul. Early days, you don't have the same communication going on, right? But like word had spread around the school. A teacher, like, refused to put on the television, like, didn't think it was real.
Really?
Like, took way too long, like, for us finally to get it on TV.
Tom Steffen, I remember Bob Trumpy explaining Dan Pastorini would play despite a rib injury by wearing a flak jacket. Earl Campbell, probable with a hip pointer. That's right. Jim Shogren, quarterbacks that did not play at all in the preseason are now 3-16 against the spread in the first half of Game 1's recently, including Stafford last night. Cheers. That was the Scott Seidenberg... the stat that we were told about yesterday.
I think that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest, I am just told, because I thought I knew everything about him, but I have just learned that he was once an X Games producer. You may know him better as the Bear. It's Chris Felica from Fox Sports joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Which X Games? It was not San Francisco, you said.
No, it was X Games San Diego during the summer, and then Crested Butte that winter. So it would have been summer of 98. I believe, and winter of 99. Yeah, I was Chris Fowler's personal researcher, assistant, helped him write some stuff, and we had some fun in San Diego with Rat Salt and Biker Sherlock and Fabiola De Silva and all those events.
Wow.
It was a great concert at a...
I don't even know what he said.
I love this story.
Yeah.
A great concert put on. I'm not sure if it was Rat Salt's house or a place he was renting, but Stabbing Westward put on a private concert there. It was great. It was so much fun. It was an awesome 10 days or however long I was out there.
I wedged the San Francisco part in there just to remind folks, or just to, I don't know if I've brought this up. I spent an entire day with Eminem at the San Francisco X Games. And by saying...
Really?
Yeah, and by...
I didn't know this one either.
Oh, no.
What are the X Games stories on this show? I had no idea.
And by saying spent the entire day, he may have said 10 words.
Were you working?
Yes. Cameo. But Eminem was hanging out with us on the Embarcadero during the X Games.
I mean, him saying 10 words, I'm not shocked about.
But. Yeah, no, he was like that, you know, the one where Musburger had him had him in the thing, and he was just deer in headlights. That was kind of him the whole day. Slight of build, that kid. Whatever happened to him, by the way? Did he turn out okay? Chris Felica, let's talk, first of all, before we even get to Ohio State, Texas, the rest of the slate.
No, you don't even, I'm going to cut you off right now.
Well, you know where I'm going, right?
You and Kelly need to be put in your place.
Whoa.
You do understand
that
Miami last night, they emptied the bench. In the entire second half. There were walk-ons and true freshmen playing in the entire fourth quarter. Like it was, those kids deserve to play.
I didn't say
like.
Why are we calling passing plays, Chris? Why are we doing that?
Because you've got backup. Those kids deserve to play. Those quarterbacks deserve to just go in there and hand the ball off. You've got, the true freshman quarterback. You've got Nickel in there as well, who may need to play as well. Mm. Like, look, they've got a couple of injuries as well on defensive backfields, it was good to see those guys get in there. But if you're practicing hard, you deserve to go out and execute the playbook.
Yeah.
And not just go through the motions.
You don't care about those those Florida Andy. Florida A&M kids, do you at all? By the way, it was very strange on
clearly the FAMU coach who called timeout with 14 seconds left in the game cared for some reason, which was interesting to do.
It was interesting that we had simultaneous screens where Miami had no compunction running up 856 yards and 42 first downs against Florida A&M. And then we had Sean McVay and Stetson Bennett, who apparently he didn't need to see anything about.
Right, yeah.
Just piddle off the field. Like, it was just like, what am I watching on both of these? Anyway.
I liked Fez's take, by the way, in the text thread this morning. That there's a non-zero chance that that happened.
That the Rams just didn't care in the end.
They just say, you know, screw it. We're not going to ruin the rest of our season. We're going to go out. Because I think you said it. When I came back from Australia, after spending a month over there,
yes,
I was done for like 10 days. So maybe the Rams just said, screw it, we're going to go there. Just whatever happens, happens, and we're going to come back, but we're going to be able to acclimate back to our body clock quicker than the Niners. Look, I don't know if I can get behind the Niners against against the Dolphins, or the Dolphins rather behind the Niners, or the Giants against the Rams, but yeah, I feel good about the Rams unders and the Stafford unders, and maybe the Rams could be 1-4 after five games. That worked out well.
Yeah, I'm with you on the way back. Like I said, never been to Australia, but Korea took 2 weeks. 2 weeks to get back to the proper sleep pattern. So we'll see how it goes for the Niners moving forward.
I forgot Chris has that crazy. Yeah, what was it? 1-4 in the first 5 weeks, Chris?
Yeah, the Rams will be 1-4 after their first five games.
That bomb future.
Last night was kind of a...
What was your number on that again?
14-1.
Whew, you imagine. Rams being 1-4. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Felica, never a prouder Miami alum. It's national championships,
and it's running it up on
Florida A&M. Both are equal. He's proud about both of them.
I wish he and Danny Higgins would work on their sportsmanship.
I really wish
that. That's really what it's about. You and I are just better sports.
Are we the only decent, classy people?
We're just gentlemen.
That's what we are. All right, Ohio State. This is ridiculous. Ohio State and Texas. Let's start there. What you got?
Just play the money line, I think, with Texas. Just take 24-23 out of the equation or whatever it might be. I kind of think back to a couple of years ago. Remember when Texas played Alabama in Austin? It was a really close game. It was a controversial play in the end zone. And then the following year, Texas went to Tuscaloosa and won relatively comfortably. It feels a lot like that game. And I think the team last year that went to Columbus is nowhere near as good, certainly in the skill positions that Texas is this year with Coleman and a healthy Wingo. Arch now has a year under his belt. And if Ohio State, I just can't get the vision of their tackles serving as turnstiles the final two games that they played last year against Indiana and Miami. I just wonder if they'll be up to blocking and containing Biles and Simmons and the pressure that Will Muschamp's Texas defense is going to put against them. I think Texas is better. I know Sark has struggled in these top 10 matchups before, but I think Ohio State might have a few warts on the interior, and we'll see if their defense is up to snuff against a Texas team that I think is pretty good. I wonder, macro, if there is worth a play here to take both Texas and Ohio State to maybe miss the playoff at a nice plus price, and the loser, you're holding a good number. Or maybe if there's a situation where maybe you take the loser of this game, you wait, you just take the loser of this game to make the playoff. Like, it's a weird way to look at it, just depending, because there's going to be probably a little bit of movement, I would think, in those markets after this game.
Did you make any, you know, obviously cousin of any talk with Arch Manning, did you make any Heisman bets this year? Do you have any?
Yeah, I bet C.J. Carr and Darian Mensa before the year started. I believe I got Carr at 10-1 and Mensa at like 16-1. And then last week, early in that first game against Stanford, I did wind up finally biting the bullet. And I bet Malachi Toney, I think it was 28-1
yeah,
that I was able to bet him out before there was a big move just because. But yeah, that's the only Heisman exposure that I have.
Because you do wonder if you know how much of the Mensa vote will be peeled away by Tony being such a big part of it. Okay, then the Arch Manning thing. Last thing on him is, you know, what's if he has any kind of awesome season? Which look, one believes he very well could be based on last end of last year's performance. Obviously, how he starts this year. If he does anything, do you believe that it is very likely that he becomes the short shot, all things being equal with everybody else, given the hype of him as a player? And then if so, is it a lock that he absolutely gets drafted? Is there any chance if he has a great season that he sticks around?
I think there is a chance. I mean, certainly a non-zero chance that he sticks around in college and has one more year. I mean, remember that the Manning family is very aware of the NFL and the way things go down in that league and trying to put themselves in a good position to succeed. If you remember how both Peyton stayed in college to avoid going to the Jets.
Eli,
the way that situation was handled as well. So I think there's certainly a chance. But yes, I do think that if Arch has a big season and Texas in that league winds up going to the SEC championship game and potentially winning it, I do think ultimately that he will be the short shot, but I just wonder and worry that they may not have that year just because the schedule is so difficult that a couple of losses are ultimately going to find them.
All right, so Texas on the money line in the marquee matchup this weekend, Texas and Ohio State. Texas, forget about laying the points, just take them on the money line. Four more college football plays from Chris Felica, the Bear, on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Hey, if you're serious about betting, you need Edge Boost, the financial platform built specifically for players. A Visa debit card with no usage fees, nowhere declined deposits, no waiting on bank transfers. Edge Boost gives you real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365. That's every night, every weekend, every holiday. Use it across all your favorite sports books, prediction markets, DFS platforms. Optimized for licensed U.S. gaming, land-based and online. Earn up to 0.5% cash back on eligible deposits and daily deposit limits up to $5 million per transaction. Per transaction, actually, singular. New users sign up with promo code VSIN, make a minimum $100 deposit into your EdgeBoost account, and EdgeBoost will match your deposit up to $100. It's a smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. Head to edgeboost.io and use promo code VSIN to get started today. There you go. That was a flawless read. People have no idea what just went on there.
Just two gentlemen doing things up here on the desk.
Two classy, don't run up the score gentlemen. That's what had happened. Chris Felica, on the other hand, totally different story. Chris, back with us. Chris from Fox Sports, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A, if you're scoring at home. Chris, where are you this week, and where are you headed next week with Big Noon?
I am in Ann Arbor right now for Michigan-Oklahoma. And this is one of those games where every instinct within your body tells you that the only side you can play is Michigan. I just don't know if I can ultimately get there. And next week, we are headed to London. Big Noon Kickoff will do a pregame show from London prior to Arizona State at Kansas will be played at Wembley. So it'll be a fun week. Get over there on Wednesday, and we'll do a couple of things around town. And then the most exciting thing is heading to Bournemouth to catch up with my good friend Jim Frivola, who is one of the chief executive officers at Bournemouth. Used to be with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Went to Miami, college friend. Go watch Liverpool Bournemouth on Sunday. So that'll be the cherry on top. I just made a pun and a play on words that I didn't even know it with the cherries, as Bournemouth are called. But yeah, I am in Ann Arbor this week, and I just don't know how you can expect Bryce Underwood to be better. I mean, maybe it's just a deal where they just run him 20-something times tomorrow, old-school football, rely on his athleticism to make some plays until they ultimately can figure some things out on the offensive line and in the running game itself, because, boy, they looked lost on offense last week.
How about Mississippi State and Minnesota? You have a play in this one?
I like Miss State. I like Mario Taylor, their quarterback, quite a bit. It's kind of a fulcrum type game for both teams to maybe this gets one of those teams to 7 or 8 wins, depending on the result here. But I think Mississippi State is better than a lot of people are leaning on to be. And I know we've had this conversation before about trends and history and situations, but I like kind of really drilling down some things. I'm a researcher at heart. I love looking and diving in at notes and stats and numbers. Like if you back since 2018, Minnesota, they've had 10 toss-up type games at home where the spread has been within 3 points either way. They've lost 8 of them outright. Now, there'll be some people, obviously, that say, okay, that means they're due to win a toss-up type game, but maybe that means that there's something that P.J. Fleck and that Minnesota staff and the team makeup that ultimately they just don't get over the hump and win these types of games. So I think Mississippi State's going to put up some points tomorrow. I do like them.
It's very interesting that you say that also. Researcher at heart. There is nothing I enjoy more than deep diving on subjects like this, as numbers game listeners probably have gleaned. I'm with you on that kind of thing. Temple is a massive home dog against Penn State. You're going with the Owls here plus the points.
Yeah, I think the Keeler, I think he's going to have this team in a much better position this year from when he took over last year. They tended to improve, building culture. And look, that was a dominant win that Penn State had last week against Marshall. Absolutely ran roughshod in that game with a big win. But there's some 24.5s out there. I grabbed 24.5 with Temple. And it's not going to be like a home game or anything for Temple, but I think their running game will be good enough at least early on to maybe get some possessions and maybe score a touchdown or two early on.
All right, let's shift to some totals here.
Rarity for me.
Yeah, well, that is true, right? You're not really much of a total bettor, right?
No, I'm not, because a lot of these college games can get a little wonky at times, but I think this is the type of board it is in college this week. I didn't find a lot that I like. There's so many like weird, just blowout type matchups and lines where I just can't really find a game or two that I like. So I did land on a couple of totals. I thought about maybe laying the 10 with FIU, but I think under 47.5 is a little bit of a safer play. FIU's defense did really well last week, slowing down USF. We talked about that. I liked FIU when they got the cover. Maybe could have won the game outright if they didn't turn the ball over as many times as they did. But I don't know if Buffalo is going to be able to generate much offense down in western unincorporated Kendall-Dade County, south of Palmetto, west of the Palmetto there. Kelly, I know you're loving the South Florida geography right now. But, yeah, they survived against Albany last week, 121-17. I don't think they're going to manage much offensively. So I played under the 47.5 there was what I had played. 47 still fine. And then Duke, Illinois, under 51.5 was the other total that I played as well. Duke's offense was completely one-dimensional last week. Shepherd is a hell of a back, but I don't think you're going to have much in the terms of passing game from Egitt, their quarterback. Duke really struggled against a Tulane team to move the ball that is not going to be very good this year. And then Illinois was another team where you looked up again that game against UAB, and that was a game for quite some time. They had a third of their offense basically on two long scoring plays, had just 330 yards, I believe it was, in the game. This feels maybe like a 24-21 type game, something in that area. This was a game that maybe aggravated me more than any other game imaginable last year. Having Duke as a short favorite against Illinois, turned the ball over a million times, deserved to win the game, and then Illinois wound up winning. So maybe I'll get a little bit of revenge on an ugly, low-scoring game this year.
Let me ask a Megapod-ish question on college football this weekend. A game that you want no part of that you've heard others betting, let's reduce it to the top 25 games.
Oregon-Oklahoma State, because I can make a case either way, as you can in a lot of games, but I think there's a school of thought that it's going to be an early 9 a.m. local body clock for Oregon, and they've struggled in those games. Remember, last year at Northwestern. They really struggled early on. But last week, they really struggled early on in that game against Boise, and I was dead wrong in my assessment of that game. Boise had a great chance to win that game. So maybe you would think Oregon would come out and with a little bit more focus and a little bit more fire, and now being used to the new offensive coordinator, and play well. And on the flip, you had Oklahoma State, who was just terrible last week, losing to Tulsa. Maybe they take a little bit of a leap week one to week two as well. It seems like a lot of people are on Oregon expecting the Ducks to step back up and win easily in Stillwater. I could make an argument either way. I don't want to be involved and then hate myself for playing this when I could easily have seen the other side happening.
A couple tweets. Edward Lefevre: don't worry, Gil, Miami will get theirs November 7th. He's talking about the Notre Dame game on November 7th.
Can't wait for that game. Cannot wait for November 7th.
And then Hoops by Hoots: I bet Bears' take would be quite different if Notre Dame did what Miami did, LOL, in terms of running up the score.
Notre Dame actually kind of did try and do a little bit of what Miami did late in that fourth quarter, throwing a touchdown. Look, and I don't have an issue with Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman doing what they did late in that game against Wisconsin, because clearly that stuff is going to matter at the end of the year. Now, Miami against FAMU, I mean, the statistics don't really matter. It's irrelevant. Like when I do a lot of statistical deep dives, I narrow it down and I eliminate these bye games and the FCS opponents, because I mean, a lot of it is stat padding if you're in there the whole game. But at least in Miami's sake, Mensah and Malachi Toney didn't step foot on the field.
You know what?
In the second.
I'll back off the running up the score thing. If Kurt Cignetti starts passing the football up 50 against Howard, I'll back off of it. But somehow I don't believe that's going to happen. Bobby Geddes. The Bear is the only person I didn't get to meet at Bet Bash that I've never met before. Can you tell him to stay for more than 7 minutes next time? Love was when he's on the show, though. Most different sports talked about in ANG history. That is very true.
I will next year, and I'm going to give you one more play. I'm going to give you a soccer play tomorrow. I know it's a little pricey. I just looked at it and looking at Paul when he came on. Liverpool, Fulham, both teams to score. It's around minus 170, but Fulham scores goals. Liverpool coming off of a Champions League match the other day against Atleti. Still a little uncertain in the back line. A little pricey, but Liverpool pull up both teams to score.
Okay. And Kansas and Arizona State next week in London. Just for those in 10 seconds who are wondering why those two teams, the short answer is
Big 10, Big 12 rather likes to take chances, and good for them for putting their teams in a position to be good exposure.
Okay, there you go. Chris Felica. Dr. Bob coming up.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungamble, built on a different idea. Match betting and arbitrage is a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungamble backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/vsin. That's ungambled.com/vsin. And use promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp. Look square. Always with the tweets, everybody. Best listeners in the game. Chris Heath. Senior year, living with my hippie aunt who refused to have the TV or take the paper. I had no idea why everyone was weeping at school.
Oh, geez.
My friend approached and said, we don't have to be here. So we ditched the house and watch the news all day. Nick, real Nick's. I was working at the local NBC affiliate on 9/11. It was the only day in my 25 years there. We didn't air one newscast nor any local programming. We all sat in the control room staring at the coverage on one screen and NBC raw feed of the chaos in their studio. Crazy.
Yeah.
We all remember. It's like I guess our parents' generation all remember where they were when Kennedy got assassinated, when the announcements from Walter Cronkite and others. This was this on a equal scale for the next generation. 3,000 Americans dying. My closest sort of connection to it was I have a friend, Jeff, who worked in the World Trade Center. He worked in the first building to get hit, second to fall. Remember, the first building was the second to fall. He said he took 3 years to tell me the story. He just couldn't talk about it for 3 years. But when he finally did tell me the story, and we were in Vegas on a trip when he told me the story, he said that it was like two hands grabbed the building, right? Obviously, it would hit above him. Two hands grabbed the building and, like, shook it, you would imagine. Like, it was like a bang, is how he internally, they felt the plane hit the building. And he said the initial reaction from his boss was, everybody just chill. That was the initial reaction. Yeah. And then he said shortly thereafter, he looked around and everybody started moving and calmly walking to the staircase, to the stairwell at the World Trade Center. And he said it was pretty calm walking down. And he was about 50, 60 floors up. He's pretty calm walking down until you got down to the very bottom, like the last section. And I'm getting chills telling this story.
Yeah, no,
because the story he tells is then the doors to the lobby opened and a New York City firefighter looked him and everybody else down there dead in the eye and said, run as fast as you can. Do not look back. So Jeff ran as fast as he could, took that direction, and I actually have a still shot of him. There from CNN, there's shots of people running as fast as they can. I actually have a still shot of my friend Jeff running from the World Trade Center.
Wow.
And he said that when he finally stopped running, the entire back of his body was covered in complete ash. And so it was just that I'll never forget him. First of all, he couldn't tell me that story for 3 years. But that notion of the New York City firefighter just looking them dead in the eye, and you know those moments in life where someone is dead serious, do not ask questions, just do what they say. And that was his story, and thank God he's still with us.
Thank God. Chills, man.
He was one of the lucky ones.
That's, yeah, one of the lucky ones. Yeah. I mean, how many stories did you hear like that day, right? It was a lot of that, right? Everybody calm, walking down, and hit the lobby, and oh boy.
Impossible to believe that's 25 years since then.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, another awkward transition back to week one of the NFL.
NFL Sunday, yeah.
Well, we got to get through these. We have one more early game, I believe, that we didn't get to, which was the Browns and the Jaguars, where the Jaguars are 8.5-point favorites. I actually took the Browns in millions plus the points.
Yeah, we're a little oppo here. I don't know if I'm going to be laying full points and millions with them, but Jags and a couple teasers for me. I think it's a great look this week. Against the Browns, I know you're a little higher on them. I'm very interested to see what Deshaun Watson is going to be able to actually provide out there.
I just feel like the Browns roster is good beyond quarterback. If they get anything from quarterback, I don't think it's outlandish for them to cover cover that number. Jacksonville also, in the question of which of the big favorites is the most likely to lose outright, in my opinion, there's only three choices. The Jags would get the nod for me. Bills at Texans. This is the marquee matchup of Sunday. Apologies to last night's game and the night before in terms of marquee matchups, but as far as Sunday's concerned, Bills-Texans. Bills, 1-point road favorites, 44.5. I did not touch this any which way. Million, Survivor, anything.
I think this is kind of... I mean, thinking back, it's probably easier to say, I guess, after last night's result, but this was always kind of game of the week for me. This is a huge game. And two teams, I'm very interested to see what they look like early on in the season. Texans was a teaser leg for me. Texans with the Jags when it was at 1.5, teased up. I've been staring at this total for a couple weeks, too. Haven't bet it yet, Gil, but, man, this would still be a heavy lean to the under.
Heavy lean to the under there. By the way, all the ones that I play in millions, I actually make bets on, too, so... I'm on the Browns, as I mentioned earlier. I'm on the Steelers. Next, now we go to the late games, I believe. Yes, Miami at the Raiders. So now this is a Survivor consideration, but ever since the Brock Bowers news, I don't know if I'm doing it. Sadly, I played it on the Megapod, -3.5. I didn't make a bet here. This didn't end up being a millions play for me.
I'm not touching this game anymore, Survivor or anything. And look, you could sit there and rightfully so say, Brock Bowers, one player and not a quarterback, should not affect your decision to this level. But, man, week one with a questionable Raiders roster already that doesn't have that much firepower, Gil, him not playing is enough for me to be like, I'm good. I'm going to skip this Raiders
play. I don't want to donk off a Survivor entry on the Raiders. I would hate myself for doing so. Now, they could roll. They definitely could.
Mm-hmm.
But we want no part of that. Packers at Vikings. It's kind of a slept-on game in terms of marquee matchups. Vikings are 1.5-point home favorites against the Packers in what is largely considered to be top to bottom the most contested division in all the NFL, the NFC North. Vikings favored by 1.5. Kyler Murray's debut as the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, Green Bay, one of these kind of banged up injured teams heading into the season here. Not going to have Josh Jacobs, right? I think this line's about right. I've considered Minnesota a couple times, Gil, but haven't bet it. Man, it doesn't feel like a ton of people have bet this game this week, right? You feel like we've gotten a lot of that?
I feel like no one has gravitated.
I have not heard any Green Bay, that's for sure. I've heard a couple Minnesotas, but no Green Bay.
Washington taco holders at the Philadelphia Eagles. This is up to 5.5 now in favor of Philly, whose defense is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'd love to sit here and tell you that Washington's a team to play on here. I just can't get there. I just can't. I think the Laremy Tunsil injury is huge. I don't know about the defense. I think the linebacking core is going to be good, but I don't know about the secondary of Washington. Defensive line, we'll see. 44 is the total. Any thoughts? Any bets?
Nothing for me here.
Lean
to the under. I'm just checking some of these lines. 4.5 to 5.5, widely available. So kind of that dead man's land, right? But the over at DraftKings, 6. Full 6 on the Eagles.
Jeez.
So worth noting. But I'm not messing around with it. I'm interested to see what the Eagles look like early in the season here. I've been more of a Jalen Hurts defender, I feel like, these past couple years. I think the loss of A.J. Brown is going to be big for this offense, though. Defense is good. I like that. Would lean under the game. I don't know if this offense, how they're going to look early on.
Cardinals at Chargers. This will be the most single popular Survivor play. How much of a percentage in Survivor? Who knows? 30%? 33%? That's what Cleve TA had it estimated at. Chargers are 8.5-point favorites, totals 47.5.
Yeah, 8.5 here at Circa. They're the only 8.5 that I see. 9.5s, there's still a 10 out there at Caesars, I believe. I'll tell you, Gil, big favorite to lose outright. I still think the Cardinals got enough offensive firepower that if the Chargers mess around, like, it could happen. I know there's been a lot of people that grabbed those 10.5s. I wasn't one of them. I won't be betting it, but I won't be shocked.
How many of your 3 survivors are going to be on the Chargers?
I don't know if I'm going to have any.
Really?
I might save them for. I think I'm saving them for next week.
Weren't you the guy that just said you're going to play chalky?
I said that a whole 2 days ago. We lived in a completely different world. The Jags are the only thing.
It's
that,
really true.
Seriously, yeah. I've changed my mind on Survivor every day.
For real.
Jags is the only thing that's remained consistent. I will be using a fair amount of Jags.
Sunday Night Football. Cowboys finally are now a 3-point favorite, as we thought it would get to, at the Giants at MetLife. Totals 48.
Yeah, I laid 2.5 with the Cowboys earlier. Obviously, 2.5 is not 3. And I don't think that I'd be playing it at 3 with the Tyler Smith injury for the Cowboys on the offensive line. There's really the Giants, like, one, it's their one strength, right? It's the pass rush, right? And now you got injured offensive linemen on Dallas. I don't know. I think Dallas goes in there and it's not a problem for them, but man, I'm a little worried about that injury.
By the way, NFL schedulers. How many times have the Cowboys and Giants played on opening Sunday night?
It's incredible. I know.
It's got to be the most consistently
used
matchup.
Yeah, well, it definitely
for week
is.
One.
I don't even think we need to research it. It definitely is. I'm a little tired of it. Feel free to change it up, NFL. And then, like we said, do we say this on air or off air? I don't need the greatest game ever to open up week one. Like, we're desperate for NFL football.
And Monday night, to wrap it up, Monday Night Football, Broncos at Chiefs. Broncos, 2.5-point road dogs.
Favorites?
You're on the Broncos.
Favorite side of the week for me, Gil. Wow. Broncos plus 3, I did lay 120 on them.
So I ended up Seahawks, Rams, Brownies, Lions, Steelers in millions.
I'm decided.
1-0-1 out of the chute. Can you catch me? Coming back with Dr. Bob next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Hey,
atop the world's largest sports book. Look at that thing. People still signing up for millions and Survivor back there today. Proxies,
yes, there
in full
are.
Effect. I know Wishnev has an appointment at 9 a.m.
I was going to say, I'm looking at one Todd Wishnev right now, casually stroll up to the counter.
Yeah, he's involved. He's involved.
He's going to find his proxy.
We do have 9/11 stories from everybody. I want to get through everybody's. Here's a few. Jared Still, I was stationed in Japan at Yokota Air Force Base, just finished a movie, had the Today Show on before bed, saw the second plane hit the second tower, was recalled into the squadron within an hour. Crazy story overnight about Yokota Air Force Base, actually. At some point in the middle of the night, all of the base phones got jammed. Turned out there was an erroneous report on Fox News that Yokota Air Force Base specifically had been hit in an attack. Every family member stateside was apparently trying to call us at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Fog of war. JB, Beds JB, on a plane ready for takeoff to Pittsburgh, they held us up, then eventually got us off the plane. When I called mom, she was in a panic mode, having heard a plane went down outside Pittsburgh and my flight time. Yeah, I can imagine that. And Stringfellow Hawk, I was in downtown Detroit taking the civil service exam to join the Michigan State Police from 8 to 11 a.m. that morning. I was halfway home wondering why the hip-hop station wasn't playing any music when they said the building collapsed. Didn't realize what happened until I got home and saw the news. I mean, some of the more eerie, thank you all for sharing your stories, by the way. Some of the more eerie ones are folks who were supposed to have taken those flights.
Oh, yeah.
And then for whatever circumstance, they didn't get on the flight, yep. They were late, whatever. You just
Everybody's got a connection to this day, and I feel like everybody has one of those stories, too. You know someone.
Yeah. No one will ever forget. No one will ever forget. Okay, this is always a treat, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's his triumphant return. He has retired from doing college football. He's retired from doing college basketball, but he cannot be stopped on the National Football League, which he told me himself he has been super into since getting back into it. It's Dr. Bob, the great Dr. Bob Stoll, who joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports, drbobsports.com. Good morning, Bob. Happy football, sir.
How you doing? I have a story from 9/11. I had a girlfriend. We dated for a little bit, but she was a friend years later when this happened. She's from Hawaii, and her best friend is from Hawaii. And her best friend went to Boston for a wedding. I think it was Boston. And she said, hey, can you – and she made her switch her flight. Was it the Boston to L.A. flight that went down?
To San Francisco. Boston to San Francisco, I believe.
Boston to San Francisco. So my friend was in San Francisco. She said, hey – her friend was supposed to go Boston to L.A. and back to Hawaii. And my friend was living in San Francisco. She said, hey, I'd love to see you. Can you switch your flight to Boston to San Francisco so we could spend a couple of days together before you go back home to Hawaii? And her friend was on that plane, Boston to San Francisco.
Oh. The exact opposite of what I was just talking about. Jeez.
Yeah, and my friend was a therapist. So, but she still had such a hard time. And when she went back to Hawaii for the memorial and to, face the family, because they knew, and they've been childhood friends. They've known my friend forever. And she wanted someone to go with her. And I had time off because it was, I forget when the memorial was, but I had a little bit of time off. I said, yeah, I can do it. So I went with her, and it was brutal. I mean, the uncomfortableness, some people were cold to her. Some people were like, it's not your fault. We know you loved her. I mean, talk about guilt. It was horrible.
Oh, how could people be cold to her, though? It's just such a bad reaction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was disappointed. Most people were okay. It was just such heartbreak. It was,
ooh, that's, anyway. That story stopped me in my tracks a little bit. Well, certainly, none of us could, as I said before, none of us could ever forget where we were, what happened. And yep. Let us hope nothing like that ever happens again, needless to say. You are here, obviously, to talk about football as, one of the great parts of this country is sports and football specifically at the top of that mountain. And we're also grateful to have it. You have loved diving back into the NFL, right? This has been joyous for you.
Yeah, I mean, when I was working with Tanner the last 10 years, he handled most of the NFL. And for a while, we were doing, stuff together and adjustment stuff. But my role in the NFL has been the technical analysis stuff and the situational stuff, which has worked really well. And he worked on keeping the model up to date and doing player adjustments and stuff like that. And it was a great tandem. As of course, if I, was getting ready to cut back to spend more time with my family, I didn't want to leave Tanner hanging. So last year at Bed Bash, I introduced a bunch of people. He ended up he's worked with those guys now.
Yeah.
So he, with Rufus and Mike and those guys. So great. And it just allowed me to kind of cut back, and I'm diving back into the NFL full on, not just the technical analysis, but doing the modeling, doing the matchup stuff. And it's been really fun. Been really great. I dug up some really interesting stuff. We talked about Kansas City,
yes.
And the offense and Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you want to dive into that a little bit, but
Well,
there's been some interesting.
We only have 5 minutes, and I know how thorough you are. So you tell me if you want to just give the pick in your background.
I released three plays, but two of them are out of range now. So I'm going to talk about. Let's talk about one really quick and see how much time we have to dive back into this Kansas City team, which I think is so interesting. So I released Cleveland and Jacksonville under 40 and a half. There's still some 40 and a half. It's a lot of 40. It might go back to 40 and a half. So if you have a 40, maybe wait for the 40 and a half. Basically, a lot of this is Jacksonville being just overrated. They only outgained last year. They were 13-4. They only outgained their opposition 5.2 to 5.0. 5.2 yards per play in offense is not very good for a team that was scoring 27.9 points per game. They were plus 13 in turnover margin. They led the NFL in points off turnovers, et cetera, et cetera. So while 27.9 points per game put them near the top of the league in scoring average, they were just 12th in expected points added and 12th in success rate. Trevor Lawrence only averaged 6.3 yards per pass play. 6.1 is about the average in the league. And he averaged 6.3 for the third consecutive season. He didn't get any better. He only completed 61% of his passes. They were just better in the red zone, better in turnovers, just stuff like that. Red zone efficiency tends to regress from season to season. So I just don't think they're going to score nearly as many points as they did last year. Cleveland, they still look like the worst offense in the league. They should be better with Deshaun Watson, even though he's been terrible in the seasons he's actually played. I think he's played 19 games with the Browns. He's only averaged 4.8 yards per pass play in the 19 starts he's had with the Browns. Better than what they had as a trio of quarterbacks last season. And he should be better than that. I expect him to be better than that. And I think he's about 3 points per game better than the quarterback situation last year. But that still makes them really bad offensively. Obviously, they lose Myles Garrett on defense, but, Jared Verse is, had very similar pressure rates as Garrett. I'm not saying he's Myles Garrett, but, they're obviously not going to have as many sacks, but I think they can still put pressure on the quarterback. The secondary is good. So Cleveland still has a good defense. New defensive coordinator worries me a little bit, but I think Cleveland's defense is still better than average. Their offense is still maybe the worst in the league. And Jacksonville is not going to be nearly as good offensively as they were last year. And they had a solid defense last year and should still be pretty solid this season, despite losing Devin Lloyd. That was a big loss. Linebacker, but Travis Hunter only played 7 games, and now he's dedicated to being a corner. I think he could be an elite corner. So I just see not a lot of scoring here. Even though the weather's going to be probably pretty good and everything else, I still come up with around 38 total points, and I have an under situation that applies to this game, a week one under situation. So I played the under for half a unit at 40 or higher, and I think the line could go back to 40.5 because I don't think it's going to 39.5. So if you have 40, wait to see if it goes back to 40.5, but under 40 or more is the play for half a unit.
All right, and Bob says applies to a situation. He doesn't always tell us the situations. He keeps those close to the best, but it's also a technical analysis play for him as well.
Right, so it's some value and a pattern, yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you what here, Bobby, because I know you have a lot to say about the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't play till Monday night. Is there any way you can come on Monday again and actually do the deep dive on the Chiefs? Maybe that's the more appropriate time so that we don't truncate
here. If you want to do a little quick segment on Monday, we can do that.
Let's do
that. Talk about the one game.
All right, that works. Broncos and Chiefs Monday night. Bob, thank you so much. Great to have you back.
All right. Good to talk to you, Gil.
The great Dr. Bob Stoll, everybody, at Dr. Bob Sports, at Dr. Bob Sports. Predictive modeling pioneer. He doesn't like that term. He says it makes him feel old.
Legend.
That's what he prefers, but Legend, he hates Bob that Stoll. We keep bringing that up. But we found it so amusing.
It's a great moment in numbers game history. Sorry.
Did you like that little spin move I did on him for the Monday night?
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
Also good tease because I have no. Obviously, I'm involved in this game, and I have no idea where he's going with that.
Let me just tell you this. He has. I'll promote it by saying this. He will have an opinion that will either be corroborated in glorious fashion as the year goes on, or he's going to have egg on his face.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Now I'm real excited.
He's really steps out on a limb.
Okay.
About the Chiefs. So just let that be the tea.
Broncos are my favorite side of the week. I'm a little nervous after hearing that.
I'm not going to tip you. I'm not going to tip you either way. So Bob back on Monday. By the way, guessing lines, the first guessing lines of the season on Monday. We'll also have Adam Burke, and now we'll also have Dr. Bob on the show.
Greg this week.
Greg.
Burke usually.
Greg Peterson. How many times have you told me that off air? Maybe four times. Maybe four. Hey. Steve Fezzik. Fezzik Fridays next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.